Oh yeah, cool, gotcha. Wow, but I generally talk very loud, so I might hold it.
Okay, good.
My friend the other day, I was having a conversation with him, and he's like, "You talk really loud." I'm like, "I know. I'm sorry."
Do you think it's just excitement, general excitement about life?
I think it's a mix of, yes, general excitement, but then also, like, feeling a need to have to, like...
Bring it.
Get stuff out. I don't know. I think it's a bit of a... bit of a thing in my family, like overprojecting, saying too much to accomplish something very little, and feeling the need to like talk over the top of each other. So maybe it was the small, boat experience of everyone just like smushed next to each other, like firing comments. I don't know, but yeah. So I'll hold mine a bit further away, I think.
Do you want to start? Well, I'll start.
Yeah.
Hi, Annabelle.
Hi, Matt.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell us about who you are and what you do and what you think about? And
sure. So, who am I? My name is Annabelle, and at the moment, what do? So, I dance. At the moment, not as much as I used to, I guess. And I also, at the moment, teach quite a bit of yoga, which has been a new thing this year for me, which has been pretty cool. And, yeah. I don't know. Who am I? Shit. I think it's like a really hard question, especially if, like, usually if someone asked me who I was like 12 months ago, I'd be able to just be like, boom, 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 like fire off all these things. Like, oh, I'm this and I do that and I live here.
What is this and what is that? What would you have said?
Yeah, I probably would have said like, oh, I'm Annabelle. I live in Sydney. I did a dance course and I teach dance and I don't know, like being outside. I don't know. I just would have like listed off a whole list of things that I kind of, that encompass maybe what I do in my life.
Yeah.
But then like just recently this year, I was kind of, I think, a bit like shocked with a wave of not really having like consistent things to do in my life. So then I was a little bit like, oh, whoa. Okay, who am I if I'm not doing these things? Or if these things aren't always consistent, then I still am a person, like living and breathing, but I'm not defined by these consistent activities that have always been very regular and constant and something to talk about and share with people. And so, yeah, I think this year I've just like, when people ask me that question, I'm a bit like, I don't really know.
But you're still very active.
Yeah.
You still have to get up and do stuff.
Yeah, I still have to get up and do stuff. But I think I'm less... All those activities that I do now almost become like little... like moments of research into like trying to discover who I am, rather than like going to do that activity and already being like in a mode of like, oh yeah, this is Annabelle doing the activity. It's kind of like, oh, I'm doing the activity. Who's Annabelle inside the activity? Like just reverse perspective, I think. Which has been really cool, and I think that's kind of been stimulated from doing more like teaching based work, I guess. Like I've done a bit more kind of teaching and leading of groups this year than I have ever before, like through yoga and through dance teaching and stuff like that. And that really like shows you up because all eyes are like on you and like people are listening to like what you're saying, so you have to like communicate really clearly and yeah, kind of.
How do you know if you're communicating clearly?
I
just louder.
Louder.
is that like when you were talking about before.
You just
get louder and then...
Yeah, I think I know I'm communicating clearly if what I've said then... Because most of the time I'm leading in like a physical environment. So I'm like telling people to do something with their body. Mm. So yeah, communication is kind of... will go through... Like it'll be like access granted if like what I've said is then their body is doing what I understand to have wanted them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or... Yeah, I'm not sure. I think just clear, like, specificity of, like, my words and stuff that I choose will help me then kind of get to a point where I think what I'm communicating is them coming across to them.
Mm.
But also I feel like in physical things, like, if someone looks a little bit awkward or, like, their face, like, you can read a lot from their body language. So even if they're, like, might be... doing it right or whatever, but they still look a bit awkward, you're like, okay, I'm still not getting the communication through because this shouldn't feel awkward and a bit like, oh.
Yeah.
So you can read, I feel like reading a lot from, people's body language.
Yeah, there's instant feedback.
But so it's somehow easy.
Not necessarily with an audience.
Yeah.
Because they're not embodying what you're sharing or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess unless you're doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And then you know really quickly.
I went to stand-up comedy on Friday.
Yeah.
I'd never been before.
Oh. Mm. You did a skit?
Oh, yeah, I did a skit. No, I went to watch. It was pretty cool, actually.
What was it?
It was at the Entertainment Quarter, and it was like 10 different comedians in a thing. So there was... there was a group called Smart Casual.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
Oh, they were so clever. They were really good. So they did like one of their classic, the balloon puff puff one, where he blows up the balloon. And then they did this one where they interacted with a guy in the crowd and asked him all these questions and made funny jokes. And then the dude next to him who plays the guitar then had just like made up this amazing song whilst he was just standing there listening and then sung it back and I was like, wow, how did you do that? But comedy is, it was interesting because I was like, is it them? I think a lot, well, what I thought was it's not even about really being funny. Well, it is, but it's like you have to be so in tune with the audience, the environment that you're doing the gig at, like what kind of people were going to come, like what do they read, what do they, all those things. I was like, it's like this manipulation of trying to figure out what defines that demographic and then going with, one-liners.
Have you tried to do that?
Comedy?
No. Oh. Well, yeah, let's just assume that flies naturally.
Every day, Matt, every day.
Have you tried to... The kind of attributes that you're talking about, have you tried to make, a dance that from that place of considering who's coming, what kind of people are going to be, what they're looking for?
No, I haven't actually. No, and that's kind of a cool thing because I've been thinking about it for a while and not for a while, just, whatever, thinking about it. What does a while even mean?
I was going to let you have it.
I've just been thinking about it.
Okay.
But
what does thinking even mean?
Yeah. But it would be, I like this idea of, for me, dance, I don't know, at the moment, it is really just about, these spontaneous moments or... I kind of get a bit stressed out about thinking that I have to continuously produce something.
Yeah.
That really makes me a bit stressed. So I like this idea of, just every meeting of a group of people is this new experience or, whatever, this little dance that we do together or... But then I want to hold on to it too. I want to have a memory of it. So it's I get a bit, I don't know how to have these spontaneous moments or experiences with people. And even if it is in a, yoga class context, or because, you know, people come in every day and they bring all their whatever that they've done before, their previous experience, and there's new people in the room every time, and then they all kind of just leave. But you want to kind of hold on to something from those experiences to collate into a big thing. But then the idea of like producing something epic like that is, yeah, a bit daunting for me. So I don't know how to, kind of interact with every experience in a way that I feel very relaxed, and so that it can be free and spontaneous, but then also have in the back of my mind, oh, maybe this could be something more, or maybe this could develop into something else, or I don't know. I think that was like a really around the bush topic.
It's all right.
I don't know where that was going.
What do you do in the studio? In the times when you do...
Do things?
When you are in a studio.
So when I'm in a studio, at the moment, this year it's been more so with other people.
Yeah.
I haven't really done any kind of solo studio stuff this year. But I guess when I work in a studio with people, I really love listening to like what everyone else has to offer in that space. And then, I don't know, it's not like, I think it's this thing of me feeling a little bit like unsure of what to offer initially, and so then I start from this point of I listen and, you know, kind of take what other people are offering and get inspired by what people have to say or what they're giving, and then from that I feel actually quite capable, I guess, to use my own tools or my own body or mind and stuff to create. But I really struggle to start with myself to begin with. Like, I feel like every time I go into the studio, it's like, it's great. Like, there's this great platform when there's other people around and I'm really sparked and I'm like, yeah, go. And I feel really inspired and, you know, great things come out of my body and thoughts come and stuff. But to put myself in a studio alone and to start from that point is like really difficult for me.
I find it really difficult too. And I wonder if it's because I'm extroverted and where I get energy from is from other people and from their responses, or I wonder if my only interest in making things is so that people will watch them, and somehow my collaborators or my team are the first audience and I'm their first audience all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like when you... I don't know. It's like when you're kicking the footy.
Yeah.
And I only use this example because I did it the other day. But it's like if you're kicking the footy alone... There's like...
You've got to walk over and pick it back up again and kick it again.
And also there's like no one to be like, oh, nice kick. Or like you don't notice the distance it's gone because it's not reaching another human.
Yeah.
So you don't notice the effort of the kick, or like the distance, or like how good your form was, or because there's no one else there at the other end to be like, yeah, you made it to me. I marked it. You... did well. So I think that's kind of like me in the studio. Like I'm not good at noticing the distance I'm going alone, whereas some people can be quite, they're really great at reflecting and self-reflecting and going, yeah, cool, I accomplished that today.
Reflecting and self-reflecting. I'm just thinking like there's a, in space you need at least 3 points before you can start to think about distance. Because if there's just 1 point, there's nothing around it. And if there's 2 points, then there's not... They could be next to each other and really small, or they could be light years away and really big.
Yeah.
And that won't give you anything, but somehow a third point will start to let you know a relative...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's balanced then from all perspectives. So, yeah, I think in the studio, I generally at the moment, I'll just, if I'm with people, I'll just go in and, like, because I'm really excited because maybe I haven't danced for a while.
Yeah.
I'll go a bit crazy.
Great.
That's generally what happens. Like, I'm like, woo, yes, improvisation, in and out of the floor, jumping, squiggling the body, I don't know.
Pumping music.
Just pump, like, yeah. Just...
What music do you pump?
Depends on the mood. Uh-huh. I'm a bit of a music mood person.
Uh-huh.
Like, music reflects the feeling uh-huh. of the day. So, all different.
Sometimes I pick a song to hack my mood because I'm in the wrong mood.
Yeah.
Somehow, like, I've got my team are there and maybe some money's there and the studio's there and my time is there and my health and my body yes. ability is there, but my mood is not there.
Yeah, your mood's not up.
And I can either try and talk myself into it or I can use willpower just to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Or, and this is much more fun, I can choose a song that I know will put me in the mood, which could be like Kendrick Lamar, King Kunta, or it could be like Partition from Beyonce. Yeah. Or it could even be like Ludacris.
Oh, Ludacris, you're getting down.
Fat Man Scoop. Yeah. Or like these.
Go back to the young days in school.
When you didn't think twice about dancing.
On the basketball court when you're like making up routines at lunchtime.
Or running the school social or something. And you're like, I wonder how dirty of a song I can play before I get in trouble, before I get vetoed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so music is... I did... The other thing, though, one thing I have been doing more lately is when I go out and go dancing, like, just...
Like to the club.
To the club.
Yeah.
And it's just real, it's been really fun. Like, you know how sometimes you go out to the club and you're a bit like, what, no vibe or something. And you kind of like just don't get your groove on.
Yeah.
But I don't know, recently I think when I've been going out dancing, I don't know if it's like, this might sound a bit weird, but like I just feel really liberated.
Do you think it's since you hit 25?
I reckon. It's like suddenly I'm a bit more legit or something. Like I've got these skills and I've like lived a little bit and people like then trust my my knowledge and my talent. No, but I don't know what it is, but I was like, why can't I be this liberated all the time?
In
like,
the world?
No, not in the world. Just like in a dance context. Okay. And you just like, I think that's my issue as well, is I strive to like feel this like liberated feeling in a dance studio or in a studio or whatever, which I think is a little bit unrealistic sometimes. And
Who knows? I guess it depends if you're trying to... test out whether you can do exactly what you want and also end up with the result that you want.
Mm.
And that's kind of the game that I play.
Yeah.
Whereas there are a lot of people that are much smarter than me who look at the result that they want to achieve and then step backwards and see what has worked in the past for them or for other people and do those steps even if they don't enjoy those steps.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Well, I'm just hoping that everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
And that if I do exactly the things that I want, then I can also get to the place that I want to get to because there's some kind of synchronicity or overall intelligence or...
Yeah, definitely.
Cohesiveness.
Well, doing what you want is kind of more instinctual, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where... are instinct people. Like, that's what we are.
Yeah.
Like, before we, you know, had everything that there is.
We have everything.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on around here. And, like, we didn't used to have all these... Well, people, I've been fortunate enough to...
Be born into
privilege. Be born into a lot of things.
Well, just in Australia.
But, like, we were instinctual. We kind of just had to respond.
Mm. What?
Without knowing, really, how to respond.
Makes you excited about dance? Like, are there people that make you excited or are there festivals or platforms or, like, residencies make you excited or this particular choreographer is exciting or...
I
you get your dad in to give you feedback in the studio or something, yeah. And that's exciting.
I haven't actually had the opportunity of kind of doing like, I haven't given myself the opportunity of doing, I guess, lots of different kind of workshops with different choreographers. That hasn't been something that I've kind of ventured toward yet in my life. So I haven't been exposed to, besides at uni and I guess people who I've worked with in Sydney, kind of very well-established people. I haven't had a lot of that experience. Probably the person who really I kind of was quite intrigued by when I worked with was when I went down to Taz Dance last year. And Gavin Weber was working on the group down there, him and his partner Kate, and they were really, I don't know, they just had this way of working that was kind of like, he gave off this sense that he didn't really know what was going to happen, but he obviously had like a lot of strategy into what we were doing, but he gave this sense that it was like he didn't really know what was going to happen, and it was kind of like, what the hell, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And so you felt very like, oh well, cool, he doesn't know what's going to happen, I don't know what's going to happen, we can just do whatever the hell we want to do. But yeah, and then on the flip side, after you would have like a big improvisation or something with him, he would have all this like strategy and things to say about it and like where to go next. But he gave you this sense that, anything was possible and anything was valid. And I don't know, just quite a like playful, almost like not, I don't know if naive is the right word. He's not naive, but like, immature, like, not, that sounds really bad, I don't know how else to describe it, but like, not this person who comes in who clearly has a lot of experience and has made a lot of work and has strategy to how he does things, but kind of came in with this sense that he was like just a 3-year-old kid and like just kind of rummaging around with everyone else because we could teach him as much as he could teach us, I guess, which I found like a very cool experience. So I think that inspires me, and I want to have that with like a lot of different people. Like they don't necessarily have to be well established or already have, you know, a choreographic language or strategy or anything, but just like I want to have that kind of experience, yeah, with multiple different people. Like maybe it's not even in dance context either, but have this exchange where like someone has knowledge to give, but then everyone, yeah, on all different levels can kind of rummage around together and discover things for one another but for themselves, no matter at kind of what level they're at, because I am intimidated by going into an environment where I feel like all my role is to learn, and that I can't share anything, which happens quite a lot, I think, for what has for me before, like these ideas of workshops or doing a thing with someone else. You always feel like you're going in there only to learn, which is good, like you should always learn, but I don't know, I think that kind of really blocks me from just being actually able to learn and discover and apply the information that I'm learning all in one big thing. I'd like to...
How do you think... Would you say that that's kind of rare, that way of working?
I don't know. I don't think it is rare.
Okay.
I think it's probably actually comes probably more back to, like, how I put myself into a situation maybe. Or, you know, it's because it all comes down to you as an individual and how you perceive people. And if I let go of the perceptions, anything, you know, like it does come down to you at the end of the day. So I think in order for me to achieve that kind of way of working, I think I just have to kind of actually not, not let that occur. I think most of the time it's probably me thinking, overthinking or overanalyzing or putting myself in a particular role when I step into a room rather than just kind of entering the space and like maybe I'll have heaps to say today and like teach everybody these great things, you know, but I've struggled to do, like I struggle to kind of see the validity in my skill set or what I have to offer or the experience that I've had maybe in different areas and how it's totally different to everyone else's. I don't think it's rare. I just think I have to find the people who maybe want to engage in a way like that as well and not kind of limit myself to who those people might be or what they do actually.
Yeah, like, they might not even be in dance.
Yeah, they might not even be in dance. They might be in, I don't know, whatever. No. Something totally different. Like, it could be...
Wouldn't it be cool if... I'm hoping that one day my choreographic awareness or sensitivity that I'm training up that so far has been used in the theatre or in bodies or in performance, maybe that is called upon to choreograph some kind of zero gravity manoeuvre between astronauts or something.
Yeah, cool.
Something like that would be super cool.
Yeah, like, I don't... Because I think that's it. Like, everybody... Yeah, I don't know.
Tell me about Sydney, about living in Sydney.
Living in Sydney. So I've been here almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And probably for like the first like good 18 months.
Yeah.
It was like I loved it. Like it's an awesome city, but it was like pretty hard in terms of just feeling like like just like feeling like you're good. Like you're walking around and you're good, you know, like you got it under control. You know, like you've sussed it out or you've got a good network of friends or you have a bit more consistency, especially for a city that's so like transient, like trying to find your own like little bit of solid ground was quite difficult. Living in Sydney, I like it, but I think for me it could be potentially like a little bit too large in terms of like noticing what satisfies me as a person. I think it's too expansive and there's great opportunity here and, you know, millions and trillions of things to do. But like I feel satisfied when like I'm like part of something that's like kind of small actually. Like it doesn't need to be too large. Like I like not really living in a big house and I like not having lots of furniture and like I don't need lots of things to feel satisfied. So I think Sydney, it's been great for opportunity and especially this year I've done lots of different things and, you know, have started doing this teaching of yoga and, you know, all that stuff, which I might not have done if I wasn't here. But yeah, I think it's a hard... You can get very easily distracted in Sydney.
Yeah. Sometimes distraction can be quite inspiring.
Yeah.
Or can jolt you out of a rut. But I guess there's also a rut of distraction.
Yeah, yeah. And it's noticing like, am I enjoying these distractions and like these are fueling me or is it like, am I just doing these things?
Yeah, they're exhausting me.
Yeah. So, it has taken... I feel like any city that you move to, generally, if it's a big one like this, will take at least a year to kind of like, you know, start to figure a few things out.
And you moved here from after finishing Whopper?
Yeah, so I moved, so from Adelaide and then went to Whopper and then moved here.
And then who convinced you to move to Sydney? Are you just like, oh, Sydney's place to be?
No, it was interesting. I knew that I wanted to leave Perth, but I didn't really know why. But I just had like a feeling.
Well, what do you say before? We're intuitive.
We are. So I went on my gut instinct.
Okay.
And I think it was because I'd actually lived a very like pretty comfy life up until then. Like Adelaide was pretty sweet. Went to the same school my entire life.
Whoa.
Lived in the same house.
Whoa.
Like I'd never moved before going to Perth.
Adventure.
So then went to Perth and that was fine. And, you know, Perth was pretty easy too. Yep. Like you shoved into a uni where you're like, okay, cool, here's your 30 mates that you're going to be friends with for 3 years. Like you didn't have to like go hunting for friends.
Yeah.
And so that was sweet and that was easy. And so I was like, I feel like I got to just break the mold. I feel like I needed to challenge myself to feel a little bit like vulnerable. Because I hadn't really felt vulnerable before in that sense. So I decided to move here, yeah. But I was lucky. My sister lived here.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. So I had her. But besides that, I didn't really have anyone else around in Sydney. Mm. So it was kind of, yeah, completely through myself just to create a new little life.
Did you find your vulnerability?
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
You hit it head on.
Yeah, I think I did.
And has that come into dance?
I think slowly it is.
Mm.
So I think for me, finding that just like the necessity actually to be vulnerable, to kind of live your life is very necessary. And I'd never really allowed myself as just even as a person to do that before. So, yeah, I think applying that in just like a wider context of life first, and then I think I would like to actually try and access that through dance. And it's so funny because I've thought about this before. Dance is like, you know, this thing that I've done for quite a while now.
A while.
Yeah, quite a while. And so it is kind of, you know, it's comfortable in your body to a certain extent. And like, you're like, yeah, cool. I can dance and move my body around. And that's skills that I've like trained at uni and have acquired and stuff. But it's like, I haven't actually brought like myself.
Uh-huh.
I've just been like this trained body that's learned how to do these skills, but actually haven't like met myself with that trained body yet and tried to like merge them together. I feel like up until now they've been two very separate identities. Like,
how's it going
merging them,
meeting them at least?
It's
got any tactics?
Not anything. Well, yeah, I guess I just am that, like, this idea that I said before of just trying not to like take a role when I enter a space or a group of people. Like, don't already decide what it is you're going to offer or can offer or can't offer, or which is really hard because you kind of flick on and off and you're like, ooh, like back to just robot buddy doing things. Oh, back to what does Annabelle actually feel like doing, or, you know, where's her emotions or intellectual mind at right now in this experience or whatever. So it does flick on and off, but I think I just try to, I don't know, consciously be like, I think for me, I just try not to try too hard. So that's a good quote.
Yeah, it's really good.
I try not to try too hard. I generally try too hard all the time at everything.
How does that manifest? Like, when do you know that you're trying too hard? Do you get tense, or do people like step back from you, or do you feel?
I think when I try too hard, I notice that I'm good question. I think it's like when I'm trying too hard, I notice that I'm like quite fast. So if it's dancing, I'll be like moving very quickly, like trying to do lots of things.
And what do you miss when you do it? Like, what's
I miss
the cost?
Like the purpose. Like, I totally miss like why I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Like, I completely forget like even maybe what the task was.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like moving. around, and that probably feels really good because I'm very physical and I like to, you know, that's kind of a point of why I dance, is to like feel that energetic release in my body. But I do definitely miss the purpose or the intention, or I just stop asking questions, actually. I just kind of go into this like trance thing, which can be kind of fun too. Like, I don't not like that, but
yeah, if
I do,
the purpose is fun.
Yeah, if the purpose is just for fun,
yeah,
then that's cool. But I think, yeah, I do definitely notice that, yeah, I'm trying too hard, which is actually kind of the reverse. Like, I'm not really trying because I'm just like spinning around in circles, really. Do you know what I'm, but I think my mind thinks I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it's
a physical output. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
No, that's, I really like that idea that when you're trying too hard, so hard that you forget the purpose, then you're not actually trying.
You're not trying
to get into it or get the purpose.
No. Nah. Yeah. You're doing the complete opposite. So that's one I know.
Great.
Just
great
to finish
answer.
The sentence then. That is definitely when I know.
Is there any thing that's really inspired you? I'm looking for inspiration, like books or movies or docos or something that's come into your life, or a slogan that's on an ad, or
yeah,
just people throughout history. Anything that is like, because we see so much shit every day.
Yeah, we do.
But a few of them we collect and we're like, I'm just going to keep that one.
Yeah. I think I feel inspired by, I don't know, I've recently, I think, and it's probably through the yoga and stuff, but just like listening to different people talk about, I don't know, like just slowing down a bit and kind of taking notice of things rather than just like, yeah, this idea of trying hard and just moving really quickly through everything you do. So I think, yeah, like I've read a few books by, like, well, not a few, I've read one, but he talks about many things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where I got the few from.
Mm.
Eckhart Tolle, and he has his book, Power of
Now.
That's right. And I've read that, and I've, like, there's a lot of things in there, and I think that have kind of resonated with me or inspired me to, I just like, yeah, they just inspire me to want to, yeah, just actually slow down a little bit, because I've always been this very fast-paced person, and I still am busy in, like, doing things, but just, like, let... like allow the busyness of time to like pull yourself away from it a little bit, to look, I don't know, just to look a little bit more at what you're doing or your actions or behaviors, and actually how that affects your relationships with people and stuff like that. Because this idea of the role again, like I feel like up until now I've kind of always used to come into situations like playing a role, or playing like what I thought Annabelle should play in that moment with that person, or what did they want from this situation together. So I think people like that, and what's his name, the other man who wrote the Four Agreements, Don Mueggel, is that his name? Ooh. Sorry, Don. Anyway, he wrote the Four Agreements, and it's like, be impeccable to your word, and there's, yeah, these four things, and it's literally just like a way to like help you live life. But I feel like I was never taught those things, really, or really exposed to actually how to, like, you know, deal with situation and other people and yourself, and yeah, being vulnerable and stuff. So that kind of inspires me at the moment, and I don't really know, like, where to go with that. I think it just is a constant awareness thing that you just kind of keep reminding yourself of. But I would like to share, like I would like to get to a point where I feel like I could share that with people, or like engage with people in an environment where they can also like start to just like access, just like genuinely experiencing something, rather than like feeling like, oh, I'm this person, I have to experience this situation because of this, this and this and this. Like, I feel like you can, no matter what your context or your history, like it's all going to influence, but you can kind of step into a situation, and if you allow yourself, you can kind of become someone you didn't know you were, or
somehow that the situation and your role within it is always up for negotiation.
Yeah.
Especially with yourself.
Yeah. Which doesn't happen very often.
No.
Because you get so like intimidated by the context of something, and that it's already written for you, so you have to like slot yourself in a particular way. So yeah, I think just reading those kinds of things, I'd like to get to a point where I feel like I can, like, I don't know, create some kind of like environment to like be shared with people. I don't know if I'll ever like maybe, well, at the moment I don't see myself necessarily like producing like a work that is like put on stage where people sit and watch just that work. Like, I kind of like this idea of like bringing everybody gathering. Definitely I'm a gatherer. It's really good. I kind of, that's like something that I've noticed too, in like just even the way I move my body, I like feel like I'm gathering. Like, just even when I move, it's like I'm will build momentum, or I'll like pull things towards my center, or I don't know, I just feel that sense of gathering.
Yeah, I really like that as a platform or a way of facilitation. And I wonder if you know what topic or context or experience for the people that you are gathering that it's most, that kind of format is most conducive for.
Yeah.
Like, is it most conducive for reconsidering our social agreements with each other, or is it most conducive just to make a space for people to dip their toe in the water of vulnerability, or reflecting on reflection?
Yeah, that's good. Try too hard. I like alliteration, don't I?
It's like you're a rapper in training.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a really good question. I think in order to achieve that, I need to be really, I have to like be quite vulnerable myself. Like, I have to like show that in order to then allow people to feel like they can then be in that kind of environment too, I guess. Like, so, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of am open to like, it doesn't, I like this idea that, again, that I can be taught skills that I don't already know. So I like this idea of like a dance context and movement definitely being quite an integral part of, you know, trying to allow people to access different things and feel vulnerable. But I kind of don't want to, I don't know, I feel like there's this really, I feel this confidence when I'm exchanging with people who I don't actually know anything about what they do. There's like more question or more intrigue that comes from me, and I don't know whether that's because if I talk in a dance context, I feel like, oh, well, what if I say it's like really dumb? Or like, oh, that's not, why would you ask that question? Whereas if you're talking to someone who you don't know, it's like going on a date.
Dancing is like going on a date, or collaboration.
No, collaboration. Like, I like this idea that it's kind of like going on a date. Like, you don't know really anything about the other person.
Yeah.
And then, like, magic can either occur.
Or
disaster. But then reflection's really interesting.
Yeah. And definitely trying too hard is a bad tactic for a date.
We can't on a date. You kind of can't try too hard because it shows really quickly in both people. So, yeah, I think in terms of an environment, I like this idea of multiple skills coming together in order to, like, create this idea of people, you know, offering their things. Because there's, like, no judgment if no one knows what you do.
Yeah, and then you reveal yourself over
and
time.
Then, yeah, and then you reveal yourself over time.
So, can you remember any points through your practice or through your training or your dates?
Yeah.
Your professional dates or whatever, where you've had a breakthrough or an epiphany or a thought that you haven't had before?
I think, yeah, I don't know if I could recall specifically.
Is that, like, I was talking with Lizzie Thompson a few podcasts ago, and she mentioned that she starts with words that she finds quite boring and average and almost embarrassed by or predictable or whatever. But then they get her dancing, and then on the other side of the dancing and the moving practice, she comes up with other words that are the thing. Finally, she's getting to the thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool.
And so I like the idea that environments for epiphanies or for breakthroughs come through movement. And so I'm also a little bit wondering about what those breakthroughs could be. Like, I remember once, this is a very weird idiosyncratic breakthrough, I guess. But I think I was scratching my chin or cheek or checking if I needed to shave or something. And then I let my hand drop down onto my chest and realized that the alignment of my chin to chest was not at all what I thought it was.
Yeah, wow. There you go.
It was a very, so it's very strange repositioning of myself in relation to my idea of myself.
Epiphanies, I don't know. I usually, again, it's this thing, I'll usually have an epiphany, well, from what I can recall, is when I felt kind of feel like I have them when I'm in conversation. I think because I get sometimes I get like overwhelmed when moving because it's really exciting to me. So I feel like my epiphanies, yeah, generally will come when I'm conversing with someone because it's actually not really something that I do a lot of compared to moving. Like, I would move a lot more as a person than talk for long amounts of time. I know that sounds weird because I haven't really struggled at all to talk. But I don't know. So I feel like they come... Yeah. I feel like... Yeah. I don't know.
It's all right. Let's...
I don't know.
Okay. Got a question to wrap with.
Yeah.
You don't have to wrap. I mean, wrap up.
Yo. Testing.
What's your big hope?
Just for anything and everything.
Yeah.
My big hope. I just kind of hope. I don't know. I think I hope that I just can get to a point where there's like this equality of like being able to give and to take like equally. And I think that's just like across the board in like anything I do, because I still feel like unbalanced in terms of like that exchange in certain situations. So I kind of just hope that, yeah, whenever I'm exchanging anything, like moments with people or dance or, whatever it is, and I hope that it's always with other people. That's a hope. I love kind of being able to, yeah, share stuff with people, but I want the exchange to be equal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like equal, and I think that comes down to me being able to like allow the other person to equally give and take as well, because in order for that to happen, both parties, both people, or the situation, everything combined has to, yeah, everyone has to kind of be really sensitive, I think, to the situation. So I kind of just hope that, yeah, I reach a point in whatever it is that I'm achieving throughout my life, because it will always be different, I think. That, yeah, I can just get to a point where there's like this balance between me being taught things and being educated by others, but I actually feel really empowered that I have like stuff to give back to them as well. That doesn't have to be like write a book or anything. Do you know, I don't really care what it is I have to give. I do care, but yeah, it doesn't have to be on par with the other person in terms of what it is, but just like feel like I have that, I can feel empowered to like, you know, pass something on to others that maybe they haven't seen it like that before, or yeah, that's my hope.
Thanks, Annabelle.
Thanks.
That was really nice. Bye.
Bye.